You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and today I'm joined with my good friend Sven Longshank. Sven, how are you doing today?
Hi, Matt. I'm pretty good. I'm feeling good. Each time I watch Donald Trump on the news, I just get more and more impressed by him. You know, he's pulled a really, really good move today with the wall, talking about the Mexican president. And where he's been saying that Mexico are going to pay for this. Of course, Mexico are going to pay for it. He can take money from remittances. He can put tariffs on what Mexico sells to America. So, of course, Mexico are going to pay for this. And he's invited the Mexican president to come over and discuss, you know, what is going to be the best way for Mexico to pay it. So, of course, the Mexican president has said, well, we're not going to pay it. We're not going to pay it. And Trump has said, well, if you're not going to pay it, then, you know, it's not really any point you coming to this meeting. And, of course, the Mexican president has been saying, I'm not going to go to the meeting. I'm not going to go to the meeting. And this just plays into Donald Trump's hands. It means that he can take the money to build the wall any way he likes without any input from the Mexican president. And then when all the Mexicans get wound up about this and annoyed about this, he can say, well, your president was offered the input on it, and he never turned up. And the Mexican president will get the blame by all the Mexicans for this. I think it's a masterstroke. You know, he just does so well.
It really puts them on the defensive. I mean, that's what Donald Trump is great at. I mean, if you read Art of the Deal, you understanding that you go out and you ask for 150% of what you want, and then when you negotiate down halfway, you're still up there, getting close to 100%. And he really understands what you need to do to be able to negotiate with people and put people in a corner, where they're honor bound or duty bound in their mind to resist being the reasonable ones. So I think Donald Trump, with this entire situation, you know, the majority of his presidency, just looking like the good guy to the average Joe Schmo by seeming reasonable and legitimately being reasonable to the entire American public.
Well, yeah, he just makes his opponents look bad. They have to lie about him. The media has to lie about him. Another one of their lies today, they're talking about him talking about waterboarding and torture, how he wants to bring torture back. And he was asked, does torture work? And obviously torture does work. We know it worked. You know, we always used to use torture. So he said, well, I've been told by the intelligence chiefs, yes, torture does work. And then they're saying, so are you going to bring it back? Well, I'd have to see what the chief of intelligence wants. And, you know, that's a perfectly reasonable conversation. He's told the truth, although it's a politically incorrect truth. You're supposed to say, oh, of course, torture doesn't work. That's barbaric. But he hasn't. He's spoken the truth. And he's done the right thing. He said, well, I'll do whatever's legal, whatever I'm advised to do by the people that know the most about it. And this is being portrayed that he's going to bring torture back. We've got Theresa May, who is going to meet him, and we've got MPs demanding that she tell Donald Trump that he can't bring torture back. She's got to demand this from him. She's got to do her best to irritate him. No, you don't do your best to irritate him. You do your best to get on the right side of him, and you tell the truth about him. I can see our alternative right media really growing through this Donald Trump a presidency, Matt, because we are the ones that are telling the truth about what's going on. The dinosaur media, the fake news, they're just constantly telling lies. And anyone that supports Donald Trump is going to want to get the truth about him. And they're going to come to us for that truth. They're not going to go to the fake news anymore. It's so positive. I know we've had negative things already this year, but the Donald Trump presidency so far, I have very, very little criticism to make.
Above and beyond all expectations thus far. I mean, I was watching the police in Portland. These radical left-wing protesters were blocking traffic, blocking the road, and these riot cops come out. And I mean, Portland's like the most left-wing city in America. You know, they even got to show Portlandia, to mock how white hipster and far left it is, out of touch with all of America. And here we are 6 days into Donald Trump's presidency, and you have riot cops wading into to these protesters. And the most amazing thing in the video is there was like a grandma and old people and just normal Joe Schmoes cheering the cops on. They weren't yelling about the cops violating civil rights or things like that. They were cheering the cops on. Get these people out on the road. Good job. Get them all. That is something I was not expecting to hear from Portland whatsoever. And here we are less than a week in, and I think people feel a little more liberated. I think the cops maybe feel like they've got a little bit more leeway to get things done. And that's a really positive thing. So, I mean, the psychological effect that Donald Trump is doing, and I mean, he's already done at least 20% of what he said he was going to do, or at least start motion on right here in the first week when it comes to his executive orders and things like that. I mean, the wall is going to be built. Now, it may not be the wall that we all want, one, 50 feet tall and with machine gun nests, but the very idea of actually just building a physical wall, a physical structure on the southern border, has a very important psychological message. He's tapping in, saying state and local police are going to be involved in this process of deportations. I mean, he's stuck by his guns thus far. So, I mean, we need to be his harshest critics when he steps away from nationalist policies and things like that. But for now, I couldn't be more excited, because he really does seem to be doing everything that he said he was going to be doing. He's really making this forward motion in a very short period of time.
Well, he's even going above and beyond what he said he would do. I mean, you've got those rioters in Washington, D.C. Apparently, some of them are being given 10-year sentences at last. He didn't say anything about really prosecuting the left and giving them the same treatment that the right gets. But it looks like that's what he's going to do. These leftist protesters, they're going to get it as much as, what we've had for the last 20 years, when we don't do half as much of what the leftists do. He's also said that these immigrants, he wants a list of all the immigrant crimes that are carried out, so that every week there's a list that the law enforcement agencies produce in these sanctuary cities or wherever these immigrants are, so that people know what the crimes are that they're committing. I mean, that's incredible. He never said anything about forcing the media to publicise every black and white crime there is. But I mean, that's going to be pretty close to it. It's going to be not just publishing the non-white and black against white crime, but all the crime that is carried out by the illegal immigrants is going to be published to the people. And I really don't think they're going to need very much of that before they all get behind Donald Trump. I think we're going to see the whole of America behind him very, very quickly, and those that are against him will be shown up for the traitors that they are. They're traitors to their country, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, that the people that are opposed to Donald Trump, I mean, in every capacity, really just hate everything that is good. I mean, again, Donald Trump, I'll say it every single day for 4 or possibly 8 years, Donald Trump is not a white nationalist. He is not one of us. But, the same people that hate him are the same people that hate us, same people that loathe us, and the same people that want open borders. I saw Shia LaBeouf, we were talking about him just yesterday. He was arrested today because of his project of the He Will Not Divide Us. Apparently, someone was trying to divide us, and he grabbed the guy's scarf and cut his face or something like that, and Shia LaBeouf has now been arrested. So he is in jail, at least temporarily. We'll see what this means for his project. But these people, as we were talking about yesterday, are absolutely insane. It's like Jews at the Wailing Wall. And the people that are opposing Donald Trump, they really have this fanatical devotion. It's a religious devotion to the cult of multiculturalism that is absolutely stupefying. And, just to bring this up as to how crazy it really is. So Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, has declared that Chicago will remain a sanctuary city in spite of President Donald Trump's renewed threat to cut off federal funding to cities where undocumented immigrants can live without fear of police harassment. I want to be clear, we're going to stay a sanctuary city. There is no stranger among us. We welcome people, whether you're from Poland or Pakistan, whether you're from Ireland or India or Israel, and whether you're from Mexico or Moldova, where my grandfather came from. You are welcome in Chicago as you pursue the American dream, the mayor said. I don't know what's in the executive order. I know it's taking away resources or threatening it. I'm going to take what the president's offered to give us resources, and that's what I'm going to focus on. And hopefully he'll see that. So Rahm Emanuel is joining the mayor of Boston. The mayor of Boston said, of course, well, you know, the mayor of Boston, you know, solid Irish white guy, saying they'll use City Hall to hide Mexican immigrants. They will literally hide them in City Hall. We have Jerry Brown out there in California declaring that basically they're going to disregard federal law. They're going to disregard the president. And they're going to keep doing their own thing. That the progressive policies of California will not be stopped by Donald Trump or his executive orders or any laws that he passes. So, man, things are heating up. And these people, their hatred, like I said, it's such a religious devotion in their minds because the law doesn't matter anymore. You know, they're all about, you know, when Obama was in office, oh, you got to respect the president. Oh, you got to follow the law. And now it's nothing like that. Now it's disregard the law. Talk about secession, which I actually 100% support. Get them out of here. Let them take their coats. You know, they don't deserve to be warm. Let them go do their own thing. That's fine with me. But, I mean, the fabric of American society is really falling apart. And these people that hate us and hate Donald Trump, they're absolutely losing their minds because everything they thought they knew is dissolving around them.
Is that what you call it, then? Is that what the non-whites are doing there in Chicago, pursuing the American dream when they're murdering 20 people a week? I mean, it's just nonsense, Matt. And again, he's outsmarted them again already. You know, you've got the sanctuary cities saying, right, well, you know, we're not going to enforce the law. We're going to allow criminals to break the law. And we're not going to make a fuss about not receiving the funding. So the people are going to be really annoyed that they're not actually getting the federal funding. And then on top of that, they're going to get all these crime figures shown them of all the crimes that the illegal immigrants are carrying out in that city. How long do you think it's going to be when until Rahm Emanuel is kicked out of office? You know, if you've got people that are not getting the money for their city that they need, and they're being directly shown what it is that's causing it, all these crimes that are being carried out, and then you've got the chief of the city or wherever it is who's not enforcing the law, you know, how long is it going to be? They're going to have to be kicked out, aren't they? Nobody's going to put up with that.
I mean, the problem is the, you know, if you go back in D.C. history, you know, Washington, D.C. has had a very storied a series of leaders, and their former mayor was Marion Barry. And Marion Barry, oh man, he was every stereotype in the world. And he got caught while he was mayor of Chicago meeting a hooker and smoking crack cocaine on television. This was all caught.
I remember the one.
The cops bust in. You know, of course, the first thing he declares, family non-friendly moment for a second, bitch set me up. He blaming the hooker for that. And he won. He got in legal trouble and then he was reelected and he was like, yeah, I smoke crack and I love hookers and I'm corrupt, but you know, hey, I'm one of your guys. And he won until like the day he died. He was either mayor or on the city council, like this crack smoking, corrupt, just piece of human garbage. Like he wasn't even like, you know, one of those mobsters or something like that, that really like takes care of his people or anything. No, he absolutely was just a thug and just not even a classy thug, like just a really dirty thug. But he got away with it because it was his people. So, I mean, the thing is that the left and, you know, the other racial groups really do not get moved by truth. They really don't get moved by the facts on the ground because facts are racist after all. So, I mean, the thing is, unless these leaders are being actually like physically kicked out by like the U.S. attorney or something like that for violation of the laws or prosecuted, I think they'll be just reelected forever because we're in the post-truth era and these people don't care that, oh, the federal government passed a law, we have to follow it. No. They just think they can do whatever they want. So I think that they're Marion Barry style going to keep Rahm Emanuel and his ilk in power until they're physically removed, you know, for violation of the law.
Well, I guess it would rely on there actually being some good people there. As you were saying, if it's actually the city is filled with thugs and ne'er-do-wells, then they're not going to give a damn about the crime report statistics. They couldn't care less, you know, because they don't uphold the law anyway. So obviously it wouldn't apply if the situation is that bad. But if the situation is that bad, then don't forget the rest of the country are going to see these crime statistics as well. and they're going to see that what's going on there, and they're going to see that the people there don't want to arrest the criminals, they don't want to turn the criminals in, and then you might well see the rest of the country supporting calls to separate from that part of the country. It would be very nice to see some secession happen during this Trump presidency. And I know we've always thought before, well, you know, we want to secede, we want a little white area that's going to secede from the United States. But, you know, it could end up being the other way around. It could be these black areas and the Mexican areas that end up seceding. Places like California. You know, everything has changed. This last year, the whole zeitgeist has changed. Everything about our world has changed. And we need to get with that and start pushing in that direction. We were ahead of the curve. The alt-right was ahead of the curve, and we're already pushing in that direction. And I think we're going to see masses of other people joining in this direction once they see all the positive results that come from having a civic nationalist as a president. Then you're going to see the rest of the world wanting this as well. And this is what the oligarchs and the corporations and the banks and all the rest of them, this is what they're so worried of, Matt, is the fact that they know that he is going to do so much good for America. They're going to be proved wrong, and the New World Order is done for once that happens. And I think it's going to happen a lot quicker than we thought. I think by the end of the year, you're going to see everybody supporting him. And you might well see all the Mexicans and the blacks and all the troublemakers and the gangbangers. They might all move to the areas like Chicago and Detroit and wherever else these sanctuary cities are, which would be perfect. You'd have all the criminals in one area, all the law-abiding people in the other. The law-abiding people's area would be majority white. And all the liberal-minded leftist whites, they could head off to the sanctuary cities as well and live among all their pets if that's what they want. If they want a liberal place that allows crime to go on and doesn't lock up these illegal immigrants, then, you know, it's perfect. You know, what could go wrong? These sanctuary cities are just doing exactly what we want them to do, really, aren't they?
Well, I mean, that's the amazing thing in California. I mean, man, I hate California. I mean, it's beautiful, especially Northern California. But oh man, it's the worst. If we removed California, we would really remove the demographic tumor that is just growing, because so many people are in California and then spilling out in other states. You know, it's majority non-white, or at least as close to at this point. I don't want to make an official pronouncement on that, but the demographics are absolutely terrible in California, and it's huge. It's out of scale. And, you know, it's just bad stuff. So, I mean, it really does work. I mean, it supports balkanization if these sanctuary cities and then California become the safe place for all the non-whites, for all the leftists, for all the people that have a bone to pick with the new America. Let them do it. Let New York City and Chicago and, you know, cities like Atlanta and then California and then Sacramento and Portland and whatever, let that be the sanctuary cities. Let all of them go there. Don't force them to go there. Make them pay for their own bus ticket. Let them self-deport there. And then they're going to start thinking, well, why are we part of this same government? You know, this evil fascist government. Why are we doing this? Maybe we should have our own government. You know, they just had this poll. A third of Californians now support secession. So it really does work. I mean, we're talking about different races, different religions, different worldviews. Then the majority of America are what these leftists think. So let's just go ahead and get a divorce. Let's say that this isn't working out. If you want California, if you know, they call it Cascadia. If you want California and Oregon and Washington, then that's going to be your new progressive homeland. Make it as multicultural as you want. Let's get all these non-whites to go have great new homes on the pot farms and the wind farms of, you know, Portland and Seattle. Go ahead and do it. Good on you. We don't have to fight about it. Everyone's happy. Go and do your own thing. And then we just build that wall. And just, you know, lock them in and just say, nope, this is you now. This is what you're going to do now. You know, you made your choice. And then we solve multiculturalism once and for all, right? By giving people self-determination. So I hope this happens. I hope there's a drag out fight between the feds and these sanctuary cities. And I hope people, you know, it emboldens their sort of identity of not identifying as Americans, as not having a tie to America, that they want to do their own thing. Because if that happens, we really are down the road to balkanization and secession. So, you know, if all the left-wing areas secede and leave America overwhelmingly white and conservative, we can work with that. We don't have to secede at that point. then we can just work within our government to promote national socialist policies to move it towards a national socialist state. So, yeah, if the left are the ones that really want to do this, that's great. It saves us a lot of time, a lot of effort, and then we can focus to building our national socialist state in a majority white America. So let's see what happens. But by golly, are things getting interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, we know that unless people are actually forced to live with the other races, we know that the races will just separate anyway. Birds of a feather flock together. People wish to live among their own kind. So the more that you you get blacks and non-whites in these sanctuary cities, the likelihood is that the rest of them are going to move there, especially if they think, well, all the drugs are legal there. We can move there and we're not going to get arrested. You know, people are just going to self-separate. It's only Obama's policies of forcing blacks to live alongside whites that you know, causes this multicultural problem with us living together in the same area. Has Trump said anything about that? Is he going to keep pushing all the new developments to be a mix of peoples rather than allowing the races to live separately? Has he mentioned anything about that at all, Matt?
Well, he hasn't really been talking too much about race specifically, but I do think something that's very, very interesting is, you know, having Ben Carson in head of the HUD program, because Barack Obama for 8 years with the HUD program has been purposely relocating people to non-diverse areas. So we're talking about refugees, we're talking about blacks, Hispanics, all these different peoples, moving them into white neighborhoods. And that was government policy. That was actually what Housing and Urban Development was doing, is moving non-whites into white areas. So, you know, the idea that, for instance, with HUD, if they're not as excited about that, if, you know, Ben Carson, you know, for all of all the jokes we can make about Ben Carson, I do think he's sincere in his conservative principles. I mean, I'm not a conservative. I'm a national socialist, but, you know, I at least can respect him for very much being sincere, I think, in his faith and believing in conservatism. So I don't think he would be using the federal government to promote this multicultural agenda. So that's good right there. I mean, Donald Trump saying that he's going to be cutting off almost all the refugees from around the world. That's really exciting because, of course, the majority of them, or the overwhelming majority of them, are non-white. I really don't know a single white country where we'd be taking refugees in, because, of course, we're not offering asylum to Rhodesians or South Africans that need to escape their countries. We're just leaving them there to die. So, I mean, what he's doing is not specifically vocally racial, but he is enacting policies that, of course, are beneficial to us and are de facto racial. Like, when you're saying we're going to cut off you know, illegal immigration and refugees, you're essentially saying we're going to stop non-whites from coming into America. I mean, that's the sort of interesting thing of the politics we're entering into, of where things are really, really changing.
Yeah, it's you know, it's always very positive for us without actually explicitly saying that it's about us. I mean, the refugee thing, I mean, I think there's also six or seven countries that he said that none of them can come in because they have terrorists there. And of course, all the countries are Muslim. So he's not actually saying these Muslims can't come in, but the terrorists can't come in. And when you look at things, I mean, this is just practical. If you say we only want intelligent people, we want people with a high IQ, that excludes all the blacks. If you have schools for highly intelligent people, they are all going to be white. You know, if you say that you're going to have somewhere that's Christian, then you're only going to have Christian people there, and the majority of them are going to be white. At least you're not going to have any Muslims there. He's said about not taking refugees from Syria, I think, and Somalia, all these trouble spots. And it's basically just common sense. I mean, this is what's on the lips of everyone in Europe, is, you know, why are we allowing in these troublesome people from these war-torn hotspots, people that are likely to blow themselves up, carry out terrorist acts? Why are we letting them into our countries? And as soon as you say that, you get accused of being a racist, even though you're not talking about race. You're just talking about people, you know, that are going to cause problems. That they're certainly not going to be an asset to the country. They're certainly not going to do anything good or useful in the country. They're just going to be a drain on our resources and a threat to us because of the harm that they could do. And they're also a threat to our pedigree if they start, interbreeding. This is something that is too politically incorrect for them something to talk about, I think. Could you think of a non-political or a politically correct way to talk about that, the problem of race mixing, do you think, Matt? Because, I mean, Trump has managed to talk about these subjects without bringing up race. He's managed to stop the invasion of the country. He's managed to talk about law and order, stop the refugees, put up the wall, all of this, which is benefiting the white race without actually talking about the race. Can you think of a way that we could be politically correct and talk about stopping race mixing? Because I was wondering today whether we could talk about, you know, harm to our pedigree. Maybe that would be a term we could
use. Well, I mean, it is an interesting thing that Donald Trump has taught. He's had a lot of kind of eugenics statements in the past couple of years. You know, talking about, you know, smart people breed smart people. You know, you get two resources, they're going to go ahead and probably have a fast baby, those sorts of things. So, I mean, Donald Trump, I think, does understand race, at least in the biological sense, that your parents are going to reflect on what your children become. So I don't really know. That might be too far. You know, we could talk about it, of course, and move the Overton window. I don't know how Donald Trump would engage that, but he definitely has kind of talked about eugenics. So if there was some form of, you know, supporting a soft eugenics program, that might be something that maybe in his second term, if everything's rocking and rolling, that could be addressed. But I think he's just too constrained with conservatism, because the Republicans at that point would just absolutely lose their minds, because, you know, they believe far more than the left, one race, the human race sort of nonsense. So I don't know, but there really is a lot to ponder here.
Well, I was thinking more in terms of us taking a leaf out of his book and finding ways that we can discuss it ourselves and put these ideas forward to the general public without them screaming, well, that's racist. You know, if we could find ways of putting it across where it just seems like common sense, well, you wouldn't want to do that. So that we can't be accused of being racist. This is what I was thinking about the pedigree. You know, you could say, well, what about the pedigree of the country? That's going to be damaged if you have other races, other nations in there, foreigners in there, because they're going to be interbreeding and they're going to harm the pedigree of the nation. You know, that might sound a little bit better than you know, saying whether you're going to be producing mongrels, or you know you don't want to have half castes. You know, it's just a more polite way of saying it. You know, harm to the pedigree, damage to the pedigree. I suppose then people could say, well, are you then saying that these other races are inferior? If you were to suggest that, if you were to say that we were a pedigree, but you could say, well, they've got a pedigree as well, and you wouldn't want that to be harmed. You don't want to harm the diversity of the planet, all these different races. You don't want them all to mongrelize together and just become, you know, one brown breed with no history and no heritage. It's just something I was just mulling over today. I don't think Donald Trump will ever say anything like that, but I was just trying to think of, you know, ways that we could put things across so that, you know, we can defeat this charge of being racist, or we can just point out the common sense behind it. You know, you can say, well, Donald Trump's cabinet, it's the most intelligent cabinet that they've ever had in America. You want to go for the high IQ. And of course, that just, you know, that dumbfounds all the people that are saying, well, why hasn't he got women on there? Why hasn't he got blacks on there? Why hasn't he got Muslims on there? You know, they aren't qualifications for doing the job, are they? What race you are isn't a qualification. What gender you are isn't a qualification. The qualification for doing the job is whether you've got the intelligence to do that, whether you've got the skills to do that. So, you know, all these slurs that we get saying that we just hate the other races because they're different to us, you know, it's not true. And it's about, you know, trying to do what's best for our people, which is obviously what Donald Trump has done. I mean, he's managed to unite all these different factions together, most of whom wouldn't consider themselves racists at all. And yet, you know, racism is good. We know that it's positive, that you want to do the best for your own race, the same as you want to do the best for your own family. It doesn't mean you hate all the other families. So I'm just looking at the way what Donald Trump has done to succeed, Matt, and wondering how we can apply that to the way that we deal with the general public and in the conversations that we have. That's all. Just sort of ideas I've been mulling over.
Well, yeah, I mean, the ability for us to be able to understand that we need to be on a trajectory to be onward and upward. The idea in terms of human evolution, in terms of our society, to being able to push ourselves forward. Why would we be bringing in people from around the world that have no ability to contribute to our society as it stands? And actually, in fact, we're going to be a huge drain on whether it's taking care of our children or our elderly or our veterans or things like that, or in terms of increasing the IQ of the society. I mean, there's so much going on that nationalist policy is the ones that just make sense. And that's what I love about nationalism. It just makes sense. But yeah, there's so much going on with this. Donald Trump has really blown things away in the first couple of days. I mean, again, I wake up tomorrow and he's declared to, you know, send a division of American troops to go fight for Israel. Who knows? He is not my guy, not a white nationalist, but I'm very impressed from what I see so far. The left is losing their minds, and we're getting a lot of stuff that we want, so can't complain too much. Actually, I'm pretty excited. So, Sven, thank you so much for being here with me today. To all my comrades, I likely will not be here tomorrow. Matt Parrott will be in my place, because I am headed to the Atlanta Forum. So for all my Southern friends, I hopefully look forward to going and seeing the majestic Stone Mountain and enjoying some of Atlanta's hospitality. So looking forward to seeing some comrades there, and I'll be back next week. So guys, thank you so much. Have a great day, and hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.